Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. Father, thank you for the opportunity to pray, to engage with you, to begin to console you, begin to talk to you, to confer with you, to have you as a confidant, as an individual in whom we can trust. And with that, Father, I ask that you forgive me of sins and iniquity and transgression, and I entrust you with those. I put my trust and confidence in the fact that the shed blood of Yeshua takes my sin, cleanses, purifies, washes it, and washes me and keeps me in the hollow of your hand so that no evil can befall me and no diabolical attacks against me and my family can manifest itself. I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for the entrusting power. I thank you for the love that you give and the ability to just desire to co-create with us. Not that you have to or that you need to, but that you want to. I thank you for the want to that you have. Father, teach us and teach me how to want what you want, to be what you have called us to be, and to aim for the exact and purpose that you have placed within each and every one of us daily. Father, I ask for that right now. And not find my own strength to do that, but the rule that the Holy Spirit will help, guide, keep, and comfort me in doing that. In the precious name of Yahushua, pray. Amen and amen. Pastor, I'll pass it back to you.
Amen. Thank you. And before we continue, we'll go ahead and go to our before Torah study blessing.
Baruch Ata Yahuwah Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Kishanu B'Mitzvotav, Yitzchanu La'asot B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our Yah, King of the Universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us again. This is episode 81, and we're going to recap episode 80 today right quick. One of the things that we've been discussing the past couple of weeks in this theme has been increasing in spiritual substance and growing in maturity. And a component of that growing in maturity is growing in relationship, of course, with our Heavenly Father, with His Son, by the Holy Spirit. We've been discussing love in many of the past episodes. And one of the things we started out with last week was a component of the relationship, and that is having an understanding of the truth and knowing the truth, being able to identify, quote-unquote, the ringing sound of truth and feeling and embracing it. And that's a component that's needed so that when we receive from the Father, we can have the trust and our relationship is built based on trust. We turn to John chapter 8, verse 32, which starts off with knowing the truth. It says, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And then we continue with John chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. Yeshua is talking with Nicodemus and the aspect of what it is required to be born again. But in this component, we talked about the daily renewal that needs to take place. And that's a part of that relationship, that consistency in the building and the spending of time, the quality time that's needed to nurture a relationship. And Rabbi, it reminds me of, in a sense, we're talking about these components like love and before that, we were talking about the virtues that we saw in Peter. But it reminds me of taking care of a plant, all of relationships, in the sense that they need attention, constant nurturing, and at times nutrients to provide greater growth, but also negligence and lack of light and all those things, how the relationship will begin to wilt. And so we want our relationship with the Father to grow and to be strengthened, to be strong, and to then produce the fruit that is necessary, or the flowering, if you will. But this is a daily experience. And in that experience, we can't help but to learn more about Him as we spend more time with Him. to be close, to be intimate. We have to reconstruct areas in our lives that are not pleasing to Him or fulfilling the purpose of Him. And that reconstruction needs to make room. We need to provide the room for proper growth in our relationship with Him. Well, Rabbi, after that, we went to 1 Corinthians 13, which is, of course, a famous chapter about love. And it goes through describing all the different things and components of the preeminence, I should say, of love. But just reading the passage, we can see that it doesn't necessarily give us the full scope of how we get to those levels, but how we properly correct ourselves to be more like it. But one thing we do know is that we have to maintain it once we find it. And those things we have to learn through just growing close and learning from the character and the person of the Father to emulate those things so that we can become more like Him and love more appropriately. As He says, He is love. So then by His example, we should follow. And we also know, we went to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where it says that perfect love casts out all fear. Of course, when we talk about anything perfect, it's nothing missing or nothing broken. There's an aspect of shalom, a wholeness in it. And then there's no fear when that is complete. And so our goal is to become more complete, more perfect. It says, even as the Father says, be perfect as I am perfect. Just be mature, be complete, be whole. And that goes all the way back to, again, our theme here, growing in maturity. And so there's no room for fear when the presence of God is near and when we are in His wholeness, in His example, in His likeness in that manner. So that's kind of some major points from what we discussed. Of course, there's a lot of areas that we can continue to go into further. So Rabbi, I'll go ahead and pass the baton back to you to continue our discussion on spiritual substance and growing in maturity.
Amen and amen. And I want us to go back and look at a scripture that you and I were discussing just for the broadcast, and that is John chapter 8, verse 31. Yeshua was giving not just an understanding of verse 32, but He was giving the major components that we need in verse 31 in order to achieve verse 32. So if we can read verse 31 in light of understanding how to fulfill verse 32, and that's John chapter 8, verse 31 and verse 32. They go together, and 31 complements and explains any nebulous misunderstanding about how to achieve verse 32.
Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and read verse 31 and 32 again in both King James and the Amplified. It says it like this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And in the Amplified, we'll get that again, another cross section here. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, "If you abide in My word, hold fast to My teachings, and live in accordance with them, you are truly My disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free."
And I like the way it says it in some other translations, where it says, "and the truth will make you free." So believing is not just enough to fulfill the full aspect. Their Hebraic understanding is to believe to the point of doing. To believe to the point of doing. Acts chapter 2, verse 36 and 37, this makes it so abundantly clear. For the New Testament believers, the first New Testament believers in the kingdom age, during the time of the beginning of the church, as we know it, the kingdom of grace that was propagated by Peter himself, when the Holy Spirit fell during Pentecost, when that spirit fell for the first time, it opened the gate, it opened the door to the kingdom age that we are still enjoying and living in today. And what was so awesome is that devout men that came to worship and to submit to the biblical feast, the Feast of Weeks, that once they realized, seen, and experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and unbeknownst to them, the opening of the door of the kingdom for all to come in and become brides, to become saved, to become filled with the Spirit, mikvahed properly, and become the bride of Christ. They never said, "What shall we say? What shall we believe?" But they said, "What or how shall we act on our belief? You know, what is the action, the corresponding action that has to happen now? Because we believe, but now we need to know what is the corresponding action." Acts chapter 2, verse 36 and 37, both King James and Amplified, sir.
All right, it says, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now for the Amplified. "Therefore, let the whole house of Israel recognize beyond all doubt and acknowledge assuredly that God has made him, both Lord and Christ, the Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." And when they heard this, they were stung, cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, special messengers, "Brethren, what shall we do?"
The reason why this is so important to me, I mean, there's many, but one of the reasons is because one of the things that I had grown a little bit slack on is exercise, and more specifically is walking at least 30 minutes per day. Now, when you begin to lose sight of that and begin to say, well, you know, it's not really doing much, it's not really fulfilling much in my life from a metaphysical standpoint, one of the things that I began to realize is when you lose that, and we're still talking about relationship, but when you lose that act of being a person that begins to exercise, one of the things that I quickly began to realize, and it didn't dawn on me full force until I changed my habit. Keyword here, I changed my habit of not exercising on a normal cycle like I used to. And what began to happen to me because of that is I began to see a little bit of edema, a leg edema, start to happen. And in responding to that, I lost sight of the importance of what that minimal exercise did on a frequency basis, okay? And I've heard of this acronym, and I just want to share this with everyone else, called FIT, F-I-T. So the frequency of the exercise began to stop. The I for the intensity of the exercise. And that's something as simple as exercising at about 2 to 3 miles per hour in walking, okay? And the T is for time, or how much time you do that particular exercise. And it's a minimum of 30 minutes. And the benefits are tremendous, but what happens is the benefits don't happen all at once, because the F or the frequency has to be there, okay? And what you do is you begin to build or an increase, one of those acronyms at a time. You don't try to increase your frequency along with your intensity and then try to increase your time all at once, because you'll lose heart as well as be winded and begin to just kind of lose the desire and the enjoyment of that. So how does that interrelate with what Yeshua is talking about and what we're talking about at this broadcast? Well, this is how it interrelates. One of the universal principles that is not well known in the exercising realm is the fact that the blood, okay, the heart pumps the blood, obviously, through the arteries, and the arteries have rich oxygen because the heart pumps it through. They get the oxygen from the lungs. The lungs, you know, does the exchange for oxygen for carbon dioxide, you know, and then you exhale, and when you exhale out the waste product. But when you inhale the oxygen. So the arteries take that much needed oxygen through the body, through that muscle of the heart. And then once it gets all the way to the capillaries, all the way to the cells, then there's an exchange. The cells give the waste, and that waste goes through the capillaries, come all the way back through the veins. Now, one of the things that is so important for us to understand is that when it comes back through the veins, it's got to come back up through the legs and fingers, and as it does that, it has little gates or valves, if you will. It does not have the strong muscle of the heart pushing that waste product with that blood up. As you exercise, as you walk, then what happens is it starts to push. The action of walking actually pushes the blood through each of these one-way valves, and it's almost like taking a straw and putting water or a liquid in the straw, then pinching the one end that would go into the liquid. All right, so you've got the liquid stuck between the top part of the straw and the bottom, which is pinched off, and then taking your finger and thumb at the bottom, your other finger and thumb, you got one pinched off, and then the other, then you begin to slide it up until it slides all of the liquid through the straw and gradually all the way to the top, okay? Like we used to do slushies, if you will. Okay, that is the process. That's the process of how the blood that has the waste product goes all the way back to the heart and then disposes of the waste and then transforms back into the rich oxygenated blood and starts the process over. Well, if you didn't know that, then you wouldn't understand the importance of the acronym FIT and pertaining to more specifically to walking. That action, the actual action, is what helps to fulfill the cycle, the blood cycle. Well, if I just believe Yeshua for what he says he's going to do for me, and I don't show corresponding action, then I'm not exercising my faith, which is a necessity. Faith without works without action is dead. A person that does not habitually exercise, fulfilling the acronym FIT, the frequency, the intensity, and the time, then will begin to decay. The body, the immune system, all of those things will begin to subside and decrease. And then sickness and disease have their opportunity. Now, of course, yes, I know, you have to eat the right foods and you have to eat at the right time and things of that nature. Yes. But regardless if you eat the right foods, if you do not exercise, then that whole process we're talking about starts to cause major problems in your immune system, because the blood transference of oxygen and waste and cyclic through your circulatory system is flawed. And that flawed aspect begins to take its toll on your body, on you as an individual, on your brain. The same way with what Yeshua was referring to spiritually begin to complete the cycle, you have to exercise the faith that is produced. Faith is produced in order to bring forth a product, in order to bring forth the corresponding word that is spoken, that completes the spiritual fit, the frequency, the intensity, and the timing, and that also builds, strengthens the relationship. As I exercise, not only does it deal with any excess weight that I may have, but it also builds muscle. It also increases my immune system. It also clears my mind. It does so many things. And this is just walking. How much more with Yeshua's example in verse 31? How much more when you and I begin to exercise the action of the words that Yeshua has spoken in order to be his disciple indeed, to be his disciple in action. Now remember, these individuals had proven that they believed. They proved that they were not against Yeshua. They received his word. Okay? Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 12. They received his word. So in receiving his word, John chapter 1, verse 12, was appropriated to them. It was given to them. They applied. They were applicable. Verse 12. Chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. Go ahead, sir.
All right. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And amplifies
so because,
this.
Oh, go ahead. Oh. I'm sorry. I'm getting excited. Go ahead.
But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the authority, power, privilege, right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name.
Wow, that is powerful. You receive, you have the authority. You've been given the authority to exercise. You've been given the authority to manifest what his words were designed to cause to happen in my life, in your life. So that exercise is such a key component, and it's so badly understood because of the adversary. The adversary doesn't want you and I to understand the importance of this. And he will insert a delay in what is the T or the timing of things so that you don't get the results in a manner in which you and I believe and desire to do. That was one of the pitfalls, one of the problems that Elijah felt when he was so disappointed that God did not destroy Jezebel and that Ahab did not repent and realize, oh my gosh, you know, look at the prophet Elijah and I'm converted, I'm restored, and I will deal with this woman, this harlot that I've married. No. What Elijah did was he miscalculated the fit. He miscalculated not the frequency, because he was very faithful, he himself, to the words of God. Not the eye for intensity, no, because he was probably one of the most intense prophet of his day. But the timing, he was on a different cyclic timing than Yah. And in doing so, in allowing that timing to not be in sync with Yah, he missed God's desire and understanding of what was going to happen pertaining to Ahab and Jezebel. Help that we don't miss the timing, that we stay within the exercise time that we must have in order for the corresponding results to manifest themselves. I'm going to pass it to you, Pastor Andre, to just reflect on this fit from a spiritual standpoint pertaining to the exercise of our faith and what was already shared pertaining to John chapter 8, verse 31. Amen.
Sure. Yes, amen. This is, I mean, there's so much to cover here, but starting with the very first part, where we were in a conversation with John chapter 8, verse 31, and I'll make my way down to the fit component. But the whole aspect of, I love this, we call them the if-then statements. Basically, Yeshua was saying, if we abide in his teaching, if we remain connected with him, then we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Because he said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that is an important component to anything pertaining to the teachings, which he has done. But more importantly, we also know that he says, I think it's John chapter 7, where he talks about his teaching is not his, but from him who sent him. So we know this connecting with the Father through Yeshua is an integral part of this whole experience. But now going back to the fit analogy, which was excellent by the rabbi, the whole frequency, intensity, and time of the exercising, the putting to use, the walking out in wisdom is another way to look at it. Because when we have knowledge, we have to walk it out. But this exercising here, the frequency, intensity, and time, is a beautiful connection with what you're making with the spiritual, with Elijah. And we can have different components of the routine, if you will, the exercise, but if we are not integrating them completely and holistically together, we fall short. And what you were saying about falling short a while back, you were saying that when we don't apply the exercise, we begin to decay. And that could be because perhaps you have intensity and you have time, but doing it every other month doesn't help. Or perhaps you do it every day, but you do one-tenth of the intensity you're supposed to do. So each component helps to strengthen the results. And it's really convicting because now we're saying, okay, so which aspect are we missing when it comes to our exercising of our relationship? Because even when we went to Rabbi John, went to John chapter 1, verse 12, you know, it's saying that this, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. So it's everything has been stored up for us, Rabbi. And so the question now for us, especially as we're in perilous times, is what component are we missing? Or better yet, we may know what we need to do, but how do we overcome that feeling of lack of energy or the lack of will to do the things that we need? You mentioned faith, exercising faith being crucially important. So I definitely see that component in the times we live in. Faith is always important, but even more so when the season gets harder, when it's hot, put it that way, when it's intense, when it's when persecution increases, the faith is important. But the other one is overcoming our own internal lack of motivation. How do we overcome that? That seems like it's a part of this whole fit discussion. So that's one question I do bring to the mix, Rabbi.
Amen, and that's an excellent next step, if you will, for us. And that is, how do we overcome the pitfalls and the lackadaisical sluggish component that we've allowed to happen? Well, one of the ways is from a spiritual component is the shock treatment, you know, and that shock treatment can be something as easy as beginning to increase only one of the fits. Okay, let's say we're not there. Let's say we're not at the 2 to 3 miles per hour, which is a minimum in order to get the full benefit. Okay, or let's just say that we're also not there as far as the intensity, of what we are doing, you know, in order to fulfill the necessary level, because the fit are certain levels that have to congruently be accomplished in order for, spiritually speaking, the faith to work. In order for the faith to work. So if the frequency is not where it needs to be, if the intensity is just, you know, like what you said, and I like the way you said that, if we're only giving 1/10 of the intensity that we need to give, or the timing, if we're not exercising at the minimum level of 2, you know, miles per hour in our exercise, okay, then we're going to lose heart, okay? Kavana is doing it with your heart, with your desire to really connect with him, to really be in sync with him. Let's say we're not in sync because of a lack of constant fit going in the opposite direction, okay? We're being frequent about disbelief. We're being, our disbelief is increasing. The intensity is increasing because that which we know to do that we're not doing is not working, okay? And then, of course, time that works adversely and allows the adversary to go from disbelief or doubt to unbelief. Okay, so now we're all the way back adversely going in the wrong direction pertaining to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 12. Okay, so instead of having the authority, instead of having the privilege, instead of having the right, if you will, to utilize the power of God to become the disciples of God, and the action to refortify that, it's going in the wrong direction. So how, going back to the question that was posed, how do we change? Well, you change directions, okay? But first, stopping. Think about it. If I'm running, and I'm running, I'm doing fit, but I'm doing it in the wrong direction, I don't just try to turn on a dime, because centrifugal force will not be my friend. Okay, if I try to turn on a dime, I will end up falling on my side. Okay, if I'm wanting to go in the opposite direction, I have got to bring my speed down in order to be able to turn, and then with the attitude of turning, then begin to pick the speed back up and utilize fifth going in the opposite direction. So I have to first come to the conclusion that, hey, what I'm doing is not working. The way I'm going, it's not causing the right response. Then from there, I have to acknowledge that I need to slow down. I need to, and depending upon how bad it is, I need to come to a complete halt, a complete stop, and then begin to turn. And then as I turn, I let go of that which is not helping me, and I embrace that which does help. I let go of that which does not produce righteous fruit of fit, and I embrace what I understand, because Yah says, with all of your knowledge, get an understanding of how that works, and a part of that understanding is working how it works, not just having a knowledge of how it works, but the application of the action of working it for your benefit, for my benefit. I could know this, I could know the definitions and what I need to do in order to spiritually exercise my faith and do all of the things that we're talking about here, but if I don't have the willingness to do it, if I don't acknowledge that what I am doing, not only acknowledge that it's not working, but acknowledge that you want it to work for your good. Because if I don't want it to work for my good, then I can know all of these things, but wisdom will never come to rest upon me. And wisdom is the application. It's the action that manifests from the knowledge that you understand, that you know. It's taking that knowing of something and then applying it, applying the fit to your life in its proper proportion and frequency and time until it produces what is expected. So, kavana is important. I got to have a want to, a desire. I got to see the importance of the relationship. That's got to override even my situation and circumstance. Perfect love casts out what? All, A-L-L, fear. Fear is a part of torment. Fear is a part of fulfilling fit in the wrong capacity, in the wrong direction. So I've got to begin to trust again. I've got to begin to believe that what worked before will continue to work, and that God's word will always come back to him with a proven fulfillment of what he said he will do. The doubt and unbelief is huge. That's huge because that hinders the proper function of fit. It's a well-known verse, but I think in this case we need to relook at that again, and that is Mark chapter 11, verses 22 and 23. Verses 22 and 23, Mark chapter 11, both in the King James and the Amplified. It's a well-known verse, but we need to revisit that, okay? It's a part of the renewing of your mind. It's part of getting back to square one or square two and then beginning to utilize square two. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23, sir.
Amen. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever or whatsoever he saith. Of the Amplified. And Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly. Truly I tell you, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and be thrown into the sea, and does not doubt at all in his heart, but believes that what he says will take place, it will be done for him.
Amen. There is another translation or version that says, have a God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. So the God kind of faith is what Yeshua was talking about, not only here, the kind of faith that he demonstrated is the kind of faith that he was discussing in chapter 8, verse 31, teaching them how to be what? His disciples in action. In action. How to not only appropriate the fit, but the key components of the fit that helps you and I to make sure that when we appropriate the fit properly, that the results that we're looking for will manifest. And if the results I'm looking for manifest, then I am on board with knowing him, trusting him, believing in his word, and has the covenant, have the desire, the heartfelt desire, completely sold out to utilize the fit the way it was designed. Too often, I know in my own life, too often the adversary comes and attacks me with the definition of fit manifesting in me. Because if he can delay, just to delay the time, like he did with Elijah, delayed the gratification of what was the next step that Yeshua or that Yah wanted to have manifest in Elijah's life. When I change definitions, then I also change just one of those ingredients, whether it's the frequency, the intensity, or the time, or one of them, just one of them. It doesn't have to be two, but just one of them is dialed down. And when it's dialed down, then the manifestation cannot come. It cannot bear the fruits. And that is one of the major keys, is that we bear fruit. That's right.
Amen. It's one of the major things is that we bear fruit. I love what you're saying about this is part of the teaching of Yeshua to his disciples, how to be disciples in action. You know, it ties, like you said, the first verse that we discussed all the way up to now. So that is an excellent point. And I'm not sure, I think you may have cut out, I think I lost some of what you were saying, but on the part about what you're saying as far as fruit, I mean, this is the culmination of several discussions we've had over the past year. And more than ever, this season that we're in, and also when I say season, as far as the spiritual season, as far as end times and the perilous times, it reminds me of Psalm chapter 1, where it talks about the man planted by the rivers of water, bearing fruit in each and every season. And we are to be ready to give an answer for what we believe, no matter when. So we have to make sure that we exercise ourselves to be ready to give fruit. So, Rabbi, I don't know if you can still hear me, but I want to pass it back to you to make sure I didn't miss anything. That's what I was what you're asking.
Yes, I can hear you, and that is exactly what we're talking about. But I wanted to make sure that in what I shared, that it did definitely, without a doubt, answer the question that you had asked. I'm going to go back to that, or have you go back to it, if you would. The question,
yes.
Because that's an excellent question.
Yes. So going back to that question, as far as, you know, overcoming that sluggish feeling, you know, when you know what you know that you need to do, but you just don't know how to get there, how to do it, how to motivate yourself to get up and do it. I think I like what you said as far as the spiritual shock treatment. And it just, you have to start in a baby step. I love what you said as far as the fit routine, as far as you increase in components of them, not all at one time, or otherwise you lose heart. You lose the motivation. You feel like this is impossible to do. So it requires saying, you know what, I'm going to do this part. I'm going to focus on this part, and then building up over time. And sometimes it also requires, from what I've seen, Rabbi, it requires just kind of doing it in with someone. I know anytime my spouse and I do something together, we often have better results. So it requires just being honest with where you are and just applying more intensity, but also frequency and time and increments, so that we can get to the level that we need to counteract spiritual, even as we were talking about the example, spiritual edema, spiritual just kind of what weighs you down. So, yes, Rabbi, the question that that I asked, you definitely have answered. Thank you.
Amen. And I love, because just before you shared another key component, I saw just a split example of what the father was trying to share, and then you spoke it about you and your wife, and the thought came with a vision of this thought: what do you do when your battery is low and it won't start, when your vehicle won't start, when it won't take a charge? Well, you go and you jump it. But you jump it with what? You jump it with another vehicle, a vehicle that has been starting, a vehicle that is in prime tip-top shape and maintenance-free. It's maintenance-free, not in the sense that it should never, ever get maintenance. It's maintenance-free in the aspect that it has been doing this for so long. It's been starting for so long that it has an abundance of starting power. It has an abundance. And in that abundance is what is shared. Not all of the abundance, but just a portion of the abundance. And I don't know about you, but when I was first taught basically how to jump a vehicle, one of the things that was taught to me was that you rev up the engine of the battery of the vehicle that is in tip-top shape. Well, you would think, you know, well, it's in tip-top shape. Why do you need to rev the engine up? But the key is that in doing so, you help to hinder the loss of too much of the energy or the jumping power of the turn that the battery, the good battery, has, because that other battery that is very low, that has to go somewhere. It has to affect certain aspects of where we are and what's going on, spiritually speaking. The negativity, okay? Those negative charges are going to affect the positive charges, and not in a positive way. So by increasing your faith, then not only do you help others who need faith, but you don't diminish in your own faith. You don't diminish in all of the effort that you're placing in being a blessing and increasing the relationship both of Yah and with others. we need to understand that even Yeshua, when he ministered out of his abundance, but then afterwards he would go and he would recharge himself in his relationship with Yah, with God. He would always go to a secluded place and then begin to allow God to recharge him. And for me, it's reminding me not to forget about that simple thing of that recharging, that those quiet times, those important quality times. Before there's a quality decision that needs to be made, there needs to be quality times so that the decision can easily be made. Moses is an excellent example of this, because whenever the children of Israel would come to him with a problem, he didn't have the answer, but he knew who did, and he would steal away and go into the tabernacle of meeting, and he would begin to inquire of Yah, and Yah would give him the answer, and then he would go and verbalize and execute what that answer was, problem, and exactly how to apply the fit, how to apply the frequency and the intensity and the timing in order to manifest and get the results that were needed pertaining to that situation, that dis-ease, if you will, that had entered into the congregation. Wow. Pastor, I will pass it to you for the closing remarks. Time is just gone by here, and allow you to just give your understanding of how this applies to us and how we can take it to the next.
Amen. So one of the questions I always try to ask as we're going through these topics is, how does this pertain to me in perilous times? And I see a very crucial component, Rabbi, that you've shared with us that I would summarize. With this fit, intensity, and time, we're going to have to make sure that we are mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally prepared by training with frequency, intensity, and time with our relationship with the Lord. We're going to have to put in the time in order to get out the maximum benefits, the maximum results that he has laid up for us, even as we saw again in the John chapter 1, verse 12. So we have to make sure we overcome the pitfalls, exercising our faith and making an effort to obtain what belongs to us. And I always remember how we always talk about when the devil steals something, when you catch a thief, he's to repay seven times, and that's coming out of Proverbs. But more importantly, we have to make sure and go back and take what belongs to us when it relates to our relationship with the Lord, especially in these times. So, Rabbi, thank you for just giving us a really good dive into just what it takes right now. We started off again with abiding in the teachings to know the truth, and we ended up talking about the fit routine so we don't grow slack, but that we continue to grow again in strength and in that spiritual maturity. So I want to just encourage everyone who's listening today to find some major key point that we discussed. Sorry, maybe it's the fit routine, maybe it's abiding in Yeshua, but just put a little bit more effort than we usually do. Put a little effort into applying that for this week so we can see some growth and see some transition or manifestation of what we're looking for as we become closer to Yeshua. We thank you again for listening today. We encourage you to study the things we discussed as Bereans to see if these things are not only true, but if they resonate and that they are worthwhile and profitable. If they are, then continue to apply them and to recall them to mind so that you do not lose heart as things get difficult or challenging. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have any questions at all, would like to receive our weekly newsletter, simply email us. You can email us at office@bethhashem.org anytime. Someone will respond to your inquiry as soon as possible. But we want to make sure that you know that there's open channel of communication if you have any questions. Also, if you would like to learn more about us, you can visit our website, www.bethhashem.org. And that's BETHHASHEM.org. You can find out more about us on Facebook, facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. If you'd like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college, Zakkai University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. You can see our course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. Now, if you'd like to make a donation, if you've been blessed and would like to contribute to the ministry and the work that's being done here, you can do so via www.cash.app. That's cash.app/$BethHashem. And you can make a tax-deductible donation there, and it will bless the work that's being done here. So thank you for those of you who have contributed already. At this time, we're going to go to the After the Torah Study Blessing, followed by the Aaronic Benediction, and then we'll have our closing prayer with Rabbi John.
Baruch atah Yehua Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torah emet, v'chayei olam natah bikoteinu. Baruch atah Yehua noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehua, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga, Yehua, dador de la Torah.
Amen and amen. At this time, I'll go ahead and recite our closing benediction, Aaronic benediction, coming from Numbers chapter 6, starting with verse 24, and it goes to verse 26. But this is a blessing that the Lord spoke to Moses to give to the children of Israel. And ultimately, we understand that is to his bride, ultimately. So we want to just bless our listeners this morning with this blessing in Yeshua's name. Yivarechecha Yehua ve'yishmerecha Yair Yehua panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Yehua panavelecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. May Yehua bless you and keep you. May Yehua cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Yehua lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yehoshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. And Rabbi, back to you.
Amen. Father, we thank and praise you and glorify you. We stand in awe of you. We understand that your word never fails, and that the failure, that the misconception, that the missing the mark, that the doubt and unbelief, that comes from us. That comes actually from the adversary that we've allowed to deal with areas in our fit, areas in our frequency, areas in our intensity, areas in our timing with you. So, Father, we repent of that. We slow down and stop fulfilling what the enemy desires. And we begin to turn. We begin to be led by your Spirit to turn from our evil ways, from our wicked ways, from our unproductive ways, to allow you to begin to harness once again the power and the privilege and the authority to be able to utilize your fit properly so that faith works the way you designed it. We look forward to that. We look forward to the reunion with you. In the precious and mighty name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, shalom.